The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Always be here to serve, to worship, and to do what you want us to do. With the last breath we have, we will serve you, we will worship you, we will praise you. I don't just make this as a commitment, but I also ask that this becomes the reality of everyone in this ministry. This becomes the reality of everyone in this church. That even till the last drop of our breath, we will always be found serving and worshiping, doing your will and doing it your way. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And this evening, Lord, we receive understanding, we receive revelation, we receive clarity, we receive answers to questions, we receive hearts fired up and steered up, we receive solution to needs. Let this be our best service yet, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. So, what are we teaching on today? The woman in God's plan. Hallelujah. And so someone is wondering, okay, so this service is not for us. It's only for some women. So can we go home now? Amen. The woman in God's plan. Well, a lot I'm going to say today. The purpose of this is to bless the women. It will answer questions. And it will go further to explain some of the things we do here. It will bring clarity. And most importantly, it's going to fire us up and prepare us for ministry, men or women. Amen? Men or women. So it's going to prepare us and fire us up. Today I'm just going to lay the foundation. Next week I'll begin to address some passages in the Bible that have caused problems over time. There are passages that people are asking questions about. What of this one? What of that one? The Bible said women should keep silent in the church. The Bible says the woman must cover her hair or her head, whichever one. We're going to touch all of that. Amen. We're going to look at this today. We're going to look at, from next week, we'll answer all those questions. We are going to look at challenges of women in ministry. We're going to look at women in God's plan, women in ministry, and marriage. Okay, what happens when we get married as women who are serving the Lord? What happens when myself as a man gets married to a woman who has a calling, a woman that is in ministry? Hallelujah. You know, we're going to touch all of that today. So, not today, within this series. Amen. So today, we'll start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, right? Verse 26. We'll start from Genesis, the beginning of the matter. Hallelujah. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Continuing verse 27. It says, so by addition, God created man in his own image. Don't miss this verse. God created man in his own image. In his own image, in the image of God, created him, male and female, created he them. I'm coming to this shortly. So verse 28. And God blessed them and said, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea
and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And that's about verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, said, I have given every grain for meat. The Bible said, and it was so. So God created man and gave a mandate to man. And so the mandate was to have dominion, was to rule, to take charge. Now, see the point. Many of us read these verses and we assume that, well, God gave this instruction to this mandate to men. Okay? So it was later they now created women. So women are not part of this thing because they were not yet created by them. Well, let me say this to you. Genesis 1. I pray you'll be able to get what I'm going to say now. Genesis 1 is the complete story of creation. Genesis 2 is an expanded version of Genesis 1. Please pay close attention. Genesis 1 tells us the whole story of creation from day 1 to day 5. Then day 6, it summarizes day 6, which is the creation of man, from 26 to 30, as we just saw. Are you following? Now, in chapter 2, he started talking about the creation again. Not a different story. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a different story. It's just a further explanation of what happened in chapter 1. So, but then in chapter 2, what he now did was to now throw more light into verse 26 to 30. In chapter 1, all we know is that God created man, male and female, created them and gave them dominion. In chapter 2, he began to show us how that creation of man now happened. That God now formed man from the dust of the earth. I get the point. If you had just read chapter 1, you would have never known that man was formed from the dust of the earth. You would have never known that God breathed into man. Are you following me? You would have never known all of this. So it's so in chapter 2, he now expanded and explained further the things that happened in chapter 1. And then the story went on from there. Now, why did I say all of this? You will realize that the instruction that was given to man to govern the earth was not given to only the male gender. And verse 27, look at verse 27, it will be very clear to you. That if you can think, God created man in his own image. That word man in the Greek, in the Hebrew, is what? I'm not going to tell you this one. What's what? Adam, you're right. So God created Adam. Now, Adam, please pay attention. Adam here was not referring to somebody's name. Are you following me? Who is following? Adam in this verse, God created Adam in his image. He was not referring to somebody's name. Neither was he referring to a particular gender. He was simply referring to mankind. And it's very easy for you to see. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, what did he now say? Male and female. So God created mankind in his own image. Put up other translation of that verse 27. Let's see. Other translation. Read verse 27, everybody, with New Living Translation. What did he say? So God created what? Human beings. That's what King James translated as Adam. So when you see God created man, he's not talking about the male gender. He's telling you the summary of everything that happened. That God created now in dominion. I said again. That God created male and female and now gave them what? Dominion. So it wasn't just the male gender that God created in verse 27 and now gave dominion in verse 28. It was male and female. Who is following me to this point? Proper translations. NLT said God created human beings. GNT said God created human beings. Amplify said God created man in his own image. Another one? Another one. Message said God created human beings. So, the dominion that was the instruction and the mandate that was given in verse 28 was not given to one gender. It was given to male and female. And to explain this further, if you get to Genesis chapter 5 verse 1, when the writer was trying to summarize
the whole story of creation. He says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Of Adam, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now see verse 2. Male and female created he and blessed them and called their name. So it wasn't the male gender that was called Adam, it was their name. So what did God call man and woman when he created them? Adam. Are you following me? So when God said, God gave man, or God gave Adam dominion, now there is a personality called Adam. That is a man called Adam. I get the point. But that word Adam simply means mankind. So when God said he gave Adam dominion, that Adam was referring to both the man and the woman. You know, I'm saying this because this generation, even the past generation, have really done a lot to women. Are you following me? And I'm going to show you today from the Bible that was never in the character of God. That was never. It's not like God created man. And after creating him, he said, you have authority. After that, he said, Kai, we forgot something. Woman was not an afterthought. Notice how woman was created. The Bible said the Lord rested which day? On the seventh day. He created on the sixth day. Rested on the seventh day. But woman came after that. So woman was not another creation. The male and female gender were already created. They were in Adam. So when it was time to create the woman, it was from Adam that the woman came forth. Which is what I'm talking about at all. It wasn't like there was another different. God did not say. Bible said he rested. He said, after resting, he said, Kai, Kai, Kai. Angel said, can you see? Just do something. He said, Chai. I don't have strength. Bring my chisel. No. He was done with the work of creation. So where did Eve come from? Eve came from inside Adam. So the instruction and the dominion mandate, the authority given in Genesis 1:28, was given to both the male and the female gender. And you better master that, because a lot of people that are forming feminism today, one of their anger is towards God. Are you getting me? One was angry with God. The other one was angry with Apostle Paul. But I'm going to deal with all of that today. Amen? So God created male and female. Male and female. The reason why there was that further creation, why there was that separation between man and woman, was specifically, the Bible tells us it was for fellowship. God saw Adam and said, it is not good for this man to be alone. I will create someone that he will have to interact with for the sake of fellowship. Are you following me, guys? That's the purpose. And so, when you see and you read the story of creation, God was not trying to say that men are superior to women. No. In fact, putting that mindset into you is the Jewish law. And I'm going to look at it today. Now, after this happened, amen? So God never expected, okay, let me put it this way, God was never against women. If anything, God has always been for women. Now, pay attention. In Matthew, I think Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. Let me show you something. And I'll read this, then I'll explain something important to you. I didn't plan to look at this, but then I just sense. So check Matthew 19 and verse 3. Glory to God in the highest. Glory. Okay. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, I'm saying. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? It's not like the woman who put away his wife. The husband is the man that is always putting away the wife. And that's how the law of Moses is designed to function. Now you will see. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? So he made them male and female at the beginning, and said, for those cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And even in that first instruction, it was the man that was supposed to leave to cleave to the woman. Do you understand? And they twain shall be one flesh. Some of that are excited at this point. I'm going to bust a lot of things. Continue. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. And I'm going to talk here. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put sunder. Now, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a right divorcement to put it away? So, you notice, in the Old Testament, Moses said, you can give a divorce letter and put it away. Now, look at what Jesus answered. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you. Now, in other words, Moses allowed you to put away your wives. Not God. Moses saw the hardness of your heart and said, these guys are very stubborn, so you can do what you want to do. Did you see that? Did you see that? So it wasn't God that said, you can actually put away your wife. It was Moses. Say amen. Now, what I'm going to is this verse. He said you can put away your wife. But the statement I want to make is, he said, but from the beginning. From the what? From the beginning. Come on. Are we still here? I mean, are we still in this kind of thing? It's been long we passed this thing. Now what's this? Hallelujah. From the beginning, it was not so. So, Moses gave an instruction in the law of Moses that was not so from the beginning. Are you following me? So, there are some instructions found in the law of Moses that we are not so from the beginning. It was not what God wanted, but Moses allowed it. Put up like an altar of this. Hallelujah. Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. So there are things you are going to see that was not what God originally planned or intended. That was not in God's original intention, but it was permitted. Amen? And it was permitted by Moses. Now, let's come back to the woman case. I just have to show you this. Now, God was never against women. So when you see the Jewish nation act against women, it wasn't what God was doing. It was what Moses permitted. And I'm going to prove that to you. I give you one example. In the Old Testament, the Jewish nation, when they conduct census, they don't count women. How many of you know this? They don't count women. Now, why were they not counting women? Many of them were doing it out of the hatred they had for women. But there was a reason God said they should not count women. And I'll show you the reason. Numbers, rather, chapter 1, verse 1. Why did God say, don't count women? Many of them interpreted it to mean, don't count women because women, men are superior. Women are inferior. But look at God's original. He said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names. He said, count them, every male by their poles. He said, from 20 years old, and upward, all that are able to go forth to what? So why didn't God want them to count women? Because the purpose of census, of this census, was for war. Are you following what I'm talking about? So he said, people under 20 and all women, I don't want them to go to war. So count from 20 upwards. Who is following me at all? So, in reality, he's actually doing it to protect the women. But then religion came in between the line. Who is following me at all? And now turned it to mean that women are inferior and men are superior. That's why women are not counted. Amen. So, originally, this is what God had in mind. That's why you notice when Jesus was on earth,
He was walking one day. That's John chapter 8. And then they bring a certain woman, who we all know as the adulterous woman. And the point is, they said this woman was caught in adultery. And they emphasized that she was caught in the act. You don't know what that means. Caught in the act of adultery means that she was not masturbating. It means she was having sex with somebody. So, to show you how religion is, they went there, you caught them in the act. Because one person cannot be caught in the act. Don't you get the point? It is two people that are caught in the act. You went there, you picked the woman and let the man go. And now bring the woman to Jesus and say, what do you say? So, for me, the first question would have been, you caught them in the very act. Say, yes, sir. The very, very act. So you saw them. He said, so you didn't see her. You saw them. Are you getting the point? That's religion for you. So religion singled out the woman. So where are the men? Possibly, see the chances. Possibly it is one of those men that are even standing there that they caught her with. Are you getting me? So he turns and joins the crowd and says, she was caught in the act. And she cannot say anything. And then they bring the matter to Jesus. And I like what Jesus did to prove to you that this guy knew what they were doing. So he bent down and began to write. You know, I used to like to believe that what he was writing was their sin. Okay, Okafo. On 26th of May, you did this. On 30th of April, I like to believe that. Because after he was done writing, he now said, he that is without sin, if you know, say you never commit. You stone. So, all of them left. What he was trying to tell them is, you cannot punish this person because she's a woman. Whereas all you that are men are guilty of the same thing she's doing. So if you want her to be stoned, then let all of us be stoned. Who is God I'm talking about at all? So you will not find God again. Do you know that even in the Old Testament, when they go for wars, they are told not to hurt the women and the children? How many of you know this? I read the Bible. They say when there is a war, why will you hurt the men? It is the men fighting you. The women can't do anything. Leave them. So, religion picked the matter up, turned it, and say, for instance, women should not enter the temple in the Old Testament. Funny enough, in so many places today, these things are still being upheld. Are you following me? A woman cannot say he can't worship in a church because we allow women to. I get the point. It's still all over the place. Some places it looks like, oh, we have light, they're no more doing it. But it's found in some, there are some subtle ways you see it creeping. So they make a woman the leader of your team. And then she corrects you and you're angry. Say, why is she talking to me like that? A woman. Amen. You see what is happening to you? There is still the law of Moses at the left side of your brain. With all the grace and new creation you think you know, Moses is still living in one part of your head. Men ministry, my first main influence in ministry is a lady. You right? I talk about her almost every week. I'm talking about laying on offense. I mean real impact. I mean laying on offense. I mean, the first person that taught me even how to preach. First person that gave me platform. Every weekend, I was in secondary school, I would leave my house and go to her place and spend Friday to Sunday. Amen? She was a single lady. Then she was learning tailoring. I was in secondary school. When she was sewing, when she was doing what I was just started with her notes, going through it, asking questions. So, that's the best person that impacted your pastor. Not the amen.
So that's why, maybe that's why when I hear it is like, ah, she's preaching. She's the woman. I've never been able to understand why. Why not? Because my own first major influence was a lady. She was the first lady I saw that brought the dead back to life. Are you following me? She was the first lady I saw that took clutches from somebody. Street evangelism. Collected clutches. So I've never been able to understand where people come from. Maybe even if I knew Bible. Are you following me? Now, I'm saying this because we have to put things in better perspective. So, if I take you through the Old Testament, I'm going to do that shortly. I did a teaching on women in ministry some time ago, and I did this rundown. I'm going to do it for you again. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will never find a move of God that do not have a woman either championing it or playing a major role there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this better? Amen. So you must find a woman either playing a major role there or a move. You read about the likes of her, of Sarah. The likes of Sarah, who supported and stood by Abraham. Even in whatever God wanted to do. Immediately God changed name. God had to change Sarah's name too. Because she had a part in the move. You read about people like Rahab, who was a prostitute, but she had a part in the move of God. You read about people like Hannah. You know Hannah, right? Who played a role in raising one of the most amazing prophets we have ever seen. The man Samuel. The Bible said that never allowed the word Samuel to fall to the ground. That Samuel was raised by a woman called Anna. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. So you read about another woman. Praise God. Amen. No one is spinning me in this thing. Hallelujah. So you read about another woman called Hannah, trained Samuel. You read about Deborah, who was a prophetess. You know about Deborah, right? She was a prophetess. She wasn't just a prophetess. She led Israel to battle. She led men. If Deborah led men to battle and God did not pick offense, even in the Old Testament, it shows you God's position. You know, in Judges chapter 5, she was acting after she won. Put up that verse. I like reading it a lot. After she had gone to battle, go to verse 20, looking for where she said, okay, no, that this one is Judges 5, where she said that she arose. She was talking about how she won the battle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's Judges chapter 5, verse 7. He said, the inhabitants, just verse 7, the villages ceased to be. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. Since you are bad, God raised someone. He didn't raise a man, he raised a woman. Are you following me? There's the woman. So you see her, she stood. In fact, this battle was a battle of women. The person that finally, because Deborah sent for a man called, is it Barak? No, I think so. God sent a man, and the man come and lead the word. The man said, me, I'm afraid. I cannot go. I get the point. Deborah said, it's fine. You're afraid to go. We are going to go. God will give this victory to women. And they went for the battle. The person that finally killed the king was another woman called Jael. This is what I'm talking about here. And this is how God have worked with women in history. I can stop here. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, for instance, in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, I told you guys, the first major impact I had in my life was a woman, right? the second thing that spoke a word of blessing over Jesus in the scripture was a woman. A woman called Anna. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Notice before this, another prophet has spoken over Jesus. Who was the person? Huh? Do you know Bible at all? Who was the person? Simeon. Simeon was another old man that God had told, you will not die until you see the Lord Jesus come. So he spoke over Jesus. Immediately after that, Anna, came out. Another prophetess who also God had told the same thing. She was waiting for the coming of the king. So God did not play any partiality at all. In verse 37, he said, and she was a widow of about 84 years. What age is that? 84 years, which departed not from the temple. So she stayed in the temple, served God with fastings and prayer, night and day. Verse 39, and she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she took Jesus by the hand, read the whole scripture, she began to bless him. She began to speak words over him, and all that. And that is a woman blessing your Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. That's a woman blessing your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there was nothing wrong with that. You go further to John chapter 4, verse 28. You read about a woman, the Samaritan woman. You know her, right? The Samaritan woman who Jesus had just told, you've had five husbands. Even the one you are living with now is not your husband. That woman left from that meeting. Bible says she left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? So she left that place and began to preach Christ. And people from the city, through to that woman, in one day, shook an entire city and brought them to come and hear Jesus. Brought an entire city to come and listen to Jesus. And that was the woman we call the Samaritan woman. She was getting born again at the spot. And she led that move. You go further to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1, 2, and 3. You read about, verse 2, tells us about certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, Magdalene, and all that. Verse 3 tells us that they ministered unto Jesus of their substance. So in other words, put up like an answer of this verse 3. They became financial partners with the ministry of Jesus. So you will think Jesus did ministry. Needing the women. That was not true. The Bible said many others, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod, the manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So these women were major financial partners in Jesus' ministry that they had to be singled out. Their names were mentioned. These were women. You know, the problem is not just that the society is trying to deal with the women. The problem is that even the women now have something inside of them dealing with them. So a woman has a call, she cannot pursue it. A woman has a leading, she cannot pursue it. Because she's a woman. Amen. If you go all the way to Luke 23, when Jesus had died, there were some women who stood at the tomb. By that time, Peter had run. John, everyone has run away. These women stood. Luke 23, verse 55. They stood by the tomb of Jesus. They were there. His body was taken away. Okay. The woman also, which came from him, with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and how his body was there. They had to watch to see how they will put him. If you get to chapter 24, verse 1, they came back to check upon him. Now, that is how much involvement women had in the ministry of Jesus. People ask me questions like, why didn't Jesus choose women to be part of his disciples? Well, I will address that later, but let me just tell you this. Jesus lived under the law. Jesus lived in the Jewish nation, who had their way of doing their things. I didn't get the point. The Jews will never value women. The ancient Jewish nation will never value women. They struggle whenever God raises a woman. So they had to play along like that. But in the different ways he acted, you see where he stood. And you will see, by the time we now get, immediately he died and rose. By the time we get to the book of Acts, he began to show his character. In Acts 1 verse 30, when they got to the upper room, for 120 of them, 120 of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. You would have, people always think that it was majorly men that filled that place. But I've showed you before, the Bible said the people that were there were first the 12 disciples of Jesus, then women. Book of Acts 1, verse 13, 14. Okay, he said, and when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, James, after listening to the disciples and all that. Verse 14, he now says, this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. So there were women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. But you see, when you read Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost now came, you will suddenly think that it was just men that filled the whole place. Who is telling me what I'm talking about? But there were women in the upper room. So when the Holy Ghost came, it wasn't just men that were speaking in tongues. Even the women got filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody. They spoke with us and they prophesied. That's the book of Acts. By the time you go further into the book, you begin to read about women like Damaris. In Acts 17 verse 34, you read about a certain woman called Damaris who played a major role as she stuck with Paul, you see, in his ministry. Acts 17:34, very quickly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How be certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris. So many people stayed with Paul. There was a still woman named Damaris. She was there. She was so significant that she was single. There were two that were singled out. With all people that stuck with Paul, one was Dionysius, and there was a woman called Damaris. They stayed with Paul in the ministry. You find Acts 9 verse 36, you read about the woman called Dorcas. You know Dorcas? She was so significant in the church that when she passed on, people couldn't let her go. They had to insist until Peter rose, raised her head. And she stood and played a major role in the church. One worthy of mention too is the woman called Priscilla. You know Priscilla? The wife of Aquila. In Acts 18 verse 24, she played a major role in mentoring Apollos. Apollos was a great apostle. I would say a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. So see, the man was eloquent, he was mighty in scripture. He was very powerful doing stuff, but he didn't know the word of God. See the next verse. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he didn't know the word very much. He was fervent in the Lord, but he didn't know the word very well. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had. Yeah, you have to break loose, because you've seen women that labor much in the Lord. In Romans 16 and verse 1. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. You see this woman, I like talking about her. I commend unto you Phoebe. And I talk about Phoebe because that's my pastor's. Amen. Phoebe, our sister. Now, pay attention. Which is a servant of the church which is at Centria. Now, we're going to look at that word servant. She is a servant. That word servant is the Greek word diakonos. Because we want to find out who was this woman. Was she an usher? Was she a food sharer? Why would Paul single her out? You see, that word is the word diakonos. I'll show you like three places where the word diakonos was used. It was used in Ephesians 3 verse 7. Ephesians 3 and verse 7. The word diakonos. He said, whereof I was made a minister. Paul said he was made a minister. That word minister is the word diakonos. So Paul is saying, I was made a diakonos. I was made a servant. So Paul too, he calls himself a servant or minister. So we can replace that word servant for minister. Right? In Romans 16. You find in Ephesians 6 verse 21. You see that word diakonos used again. Hallelujah. He said, but that you also may know affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother, and faithful minister, that was diakonos, faithful diakonos in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So So he refers to this man as a faithful diakonos, a faithful minister, a faithful servant. The same thing he says about Phoebe. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 15, let me just show this and we'll stop. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 15, he says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, that is diakonos, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So, when you say, I'm a minister of God, what you are saying in the Greek is, I am a diakonos of God. Please follow me to this point. And Paul now says that this woman called Phoebe is the diakonos, the minister of the church, which is essential. That is very instructive. He didn't say she's a minister. She is the minister. She was the pastor, the leader, and chief of the assembly. He says, are you very sure? We will see shortly. Go to verse 27 of Romans 16. Verse 27. Hallelujah. Our project, our screen cannot show what I want to show you. So, who has King James Bible? Old King James. I have it too. So, open your King James. Go further with that. Let's see. It's supposed to, next verse, if you click the next verse, it's just going to get into chapter 17, into 1 Corinthians, right? But then, there is a note at the foot of at the end of Corinthians. So I read verse 27 says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. If you have King James or some translation, you see after that, what can you see? Look at your Bible. Don't look at the screen. It says on your Bible is your Bible. Who has? Do you have a Bible? Oh yeah, read what you saw there. Written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church. So who was this letter given to deliver to that church? Are you getting the point? So when Paul was writing this letter, the person that delivered the book of Romans was a woman. A minister. Are you following me? Are you following me, guys? So Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. He wrote it from Corinth. And was sent by a certain Phoebe, who is the pastor in charge of Centria. She was given to deliver it to the Roman church. And that tells you that Paul worked with women a lot in his ministry. To the point that this very woman was the minister in charge of a church, a certain church, a church at Centria. And that's ministry for you right there. If you're still here, say amen. You see, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, we read about two women, a woman called Eunice and a woman called Lois. Both of them were Timothy's mother and grandmother. And the Bible tells us that it was these two people that mentored Timothy first. Notice, you know how Paul met Timothy? Paul met Timothy in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, Paul met Timothy, a certain disciple called Timothy. And he was well reported, well spoken of by the brethren. So because of the way they were talking about him, Paul had to take him to go with him on the ministry. So it wasn't Paul that got Timothy saved. Are you following me at all? Paul just came and they said, this guy is powerful, he's so committed, he's so good. Paul said, I'm looking for somebody to take. So you come along, let's go. Now Paul is reminding Timothy that the faith I saw in you was first found in your mother and your grandmother. These were the two women that mentored and nurtured this guy until Paul could see him and picked him up. Who is what I'm talking about? And that's the man Timothy, and these are women, mother and grandmother. Say amen. So you go further. In 2 John, verse 1, you read about a certain woman who we don't know who she person is yet, but we'll find out shortly. The elder, so John said he was writing unto a woman he called what? The elect lady and her children. So, first of all, the book of 2 John was addressed to a woman. Say amen. Come on, are you looking at your Bible? The elect lady and to her children. And so who is the elect lady? Well, the elect simply will mean that she was chosen. Chosen by who? Do you have NIV? Put up NIV. NIV is very clear so that I can run. NIV said to the elder, to the chosen lady. I like the word chosen and her children. Another translation, Amplified, Message. NIV said chosen. King James Amplified said chosen lady. Okay, Message. My dear congregation, I, your pastor, love you. In very truth, I'm not alone. Everyone who knows the truth, Pastor 2. Message is an interesting book. That's taking permanent place. That's okay. Message omitted the woman. You know, let me say this to you about studying your Bible with different translations. You notice whenever I teach, I start with King James. Do you observe that? And I use other translation because the first translation that was done from Greek or Hebrew to English is the King James Version. That's why some pastors till tomorrow believe that that's the most accurate rendering. And let me get a point. Because King James, the guy that translated King James, did a direct translation from the original. And let me get a point. And so I started with King James and I use other translations to check. And then I also use my Greek and my Hebrew. Amen. I'm coming back to Bible interpretation very soon. Amen. Yeah, we're going to have a full month where I'm going to teach you, but that month it will be very practical. I'll be teaching and we'll be studying. It will be like a class. I'm coming to that shortly. You should be excited. Say amen. Okay, so we see these women serving the Lord. So we see women serve the Lord as helpers. We see women serve the Lord as evangelists, like the Samaritan woman. We see women serve the Lord as financial partners in the ministry of Jesus. We see women serve the Lord in mentorship, the likes of Priscilla. We see women serve the Lord as child trainers, the likes of Lois and Eunice. We see women serve the Lord as prophetesses, the likes of the four daughters of Philip. We see women serve the Lord in pastoring and church leadership, the likes of Phoebe. I get to the point. We see women serve the Lord at different capacities. So, we see that in God's order, there has never really been any distinction between male and female. That distinction always existed in the mind of man. And see why I'm doing this teaching. It's not just for the woman, it is for the man. That you will cure your heart of that Old Testament distinction that was done by man and not done by God. The women need this mental deliverance. The men need this mental deliverance. Because some women is still living in their head. There is something I want to do, Shabo. How will they see it? They say, why would they see it somehow? I'm a woman. Amen? He says, what of submission? You're just empowering this woman. What of submission? Listen to me. I will say this next week. No man is above any woman. The Bible never instructed women to submit to men. Write it. The Bible instructs wives to submit to their husbands and not women to submit to men. Are you following me? So that because you think you are a man and you have penis, every woman should listen to you. And you can control it. Don't you know? A man like me is talking to you. So you are training women to be insulted? No. Being respectful is both the job of men and women. Men should be respectful. Women should be respectful. Women should respect men. Men should respect women. Don't you think so? Because some of this is your head is living. That's why finally you can get a job. And God will do you good. Your boss is going to be a lady. And it must be a lady you are older than. And who has a very bad character. Yeah. And it has to be a well-paying job. So that you cannot just go. You just come to the job and say, why are you late? He said, I said, sorry for yourself. You see, begin to cure your mind of this thing. Listen, I know religion all over the place. Many religion, they try to talk women down. Christianity is not like that. The Bible says there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. In Christ, there is no male or female. That's why people say, I'm a son of God. Women will say, I'm a daughter of God. No. Sons of God refer to both men and women. Are you following me? You are a son of God. We are all sons of God. And so that if you have that mindset, something is pushing you. Now, there are gender roles. And I'll get to that in this teaching. For instance, there are gender roles. What's one thing that informs those gender roles is just nature. For instance, by body build, men are stronger than women, physically speaking. So the jobs that will require strength, it is just natural for a man to do the job. If a woman can do it, God will not still be angry. Who is what I'm talking about at all? For instance, people come to family, I'll touch this shortly, and they say, oh, I like this in this pastor is preaching. So my husband, there's no difference between us. No, there is a difference between both of you in the home. The first difference between both of you is from roles. Nature will even teach you that there are gender roles. A man cannot give birth. A woman can give birth. You can do nothing about that. Even science cannot change it. They can do whatever they want to do. A man cannot give birth. A woman can give birth. A man cannot give birth. And a woman can give birth. Don't you understand? That same way, by the configuration of a woman, there are things she can do better. I give you an example. If you want to do, you are forming gender equality. Child, you give birth to a child. Your child is 2 months. Your child is 3 months. And you leave the child for your husband and you go. Whatever you see when you come back, you take. He's not a wicked man. He's not being mean. He just doesn't know sometimes what to do. You know, women are just wired in some amazing ways. The child will start crying. They will say, the stomach is turning her. Did she tell you? I don't get it. And they are correct. So whether they are illiterates, I don't know about whether they went to school or not, they know. I said, imagine. Did this baby tell you now that the stomach is? And they know. Somehow they know. A man can never know that. If you cry too much, you say, look, tape and cover your mouth. Continue with my work. I'm doing on my laptop. I don't know why you make noise. And it is just because of our, and that tells that there are gender roles. But you see, that we have different responsibilities does not make one bigger than the other. Roles don't reduce you. I get any point? Now, in the home where there is need for submission, is in the home. Why is there need for submission? I say number one, because of gender roles. I'm coming to that shortly. Number two, because listen carefully, any organization, any body, any church, any school, anything that does not have a defined leadership cannot survive. It's not just in the home. This is platform of grace. I am the leader in this place. We have other leaders, but I am the leader. And there must be a leader. Such that everybody can bring a suggestion. One person has to say, well, this is what we are going to do. And that is how order works. Who is talking about? And that's what's supposed to be in the home. Do you know the reason why there are many divorces, even abroad, is because they're trying to distort this setting, I'm telling you. They want a home where there is nobody that is leading. That kind, not, it's not about home. That kind of structure cannot survive anywhere. Have a football team where there are 2 managers. It will collapse. Have a hospital where there are 2 leaders. Even in a hospital that has many doctors, there's always the CMD. That's what it's called, right? There's always the CMD that's in charge. I don't get the point. Have any firm where there are even top professionals. There must be a leader. Even in the field, in the football team, there must be a captain. I get the point. And that structure is God's order of doing things. So even in the home, there must be a defined leader. And in God's order, God says, in the home, That leader has to be the man. Are you getting the point? Outside the home, a woman can be president, a woman can be bishop, a woman can be anything. And you better calm your head down. Christianity is not Islam. In Islam and all this religion, they still do, you know, they still do these things I'm talking about. In Islam, a man can marry four wives legally in Islam. How many of you know this? When your husband is talking in Islam, you don't sit on the seat, you sit on the floor. Do you know this thing? You sit on the floor and listen to him. This is not what we have in Christianity. I taught you guys last week and last 2 weeks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You remember that? God doesn't want one person ruling over another person. God doesn't do that. Are you following me, guys? God doesn't do that. This is not Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever, where a man can open his face and walk up and down, but the woman has to cover her face. Why? Amen? You don't want to talk again. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither male nor female. God did not call me to be a lead pastor of Platform of Grace because I'm a man. God called me because he called me. That same way, he can call people that are ladies. See, I'm going to talk to men sometime in this series. Because some of you that are busy pursuing some ladies, you have to ask yourself some questions. The call of God upon this girl, can I handle it? Are you following me? And some women too that are busy pursuing men, ask yourself, the call of God upon this young man, can I handle it? Don't go and do marriage and stifle the move of God for an entire generation. With love. Are you still here? Don't go and do marriage. Say, I love her. And the entire move of God for another generation, you destroy it because you're in love. I'm warning you. We will use prayer and take you out of the way. I didn't say we will kill you. I said we will take you out of the way. I don't know what that means. If you're still there, say amen. So I just touch one more issue, then we close. So, but women can, and that's why you, a woman, don't manufacture calling. But if God tells you to do anything, don't think he cannot tell you to do it because you're a woman. I'll tell you some stories about the lives of Kachin Kuman, lives of Mara Woodward Etta. I mention these women because by the time Kachin Kuman was doing the things she was doing, it was a crime for women to preach in churches. It was a crime. She took her word in such a way that even the Pope of the Catholic Church hosted her for a program. I get what I'm saying. Like the Pope himself. They couldn't resist that there was a move of God there. You know, you can't fight evidence, you cannot fight evidence. If it stares you in the face, you just know that they didn't have any scripture to back up why women, but they know this one. So if this is not God, this is devil. You know, as of this day, this supernatural is either God or devil. Anyone it is, I don't know. It was so clear. And that was a woman. And well, I'm coming to challenge you, ladies. So there is much more to what God will do with you than marriage. There is much more to what God will do with you than childbirth. As important as that is, there is much more. There is much more. From the day I started ministry, I've never trained women to just be childbearers. You know me now. On set, you must do ministry. SS1, S3, because there is a lot God wants to do. Well, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. I'll just explain that. People have questions. What of that place Paul said, women should not talk in the church? That's what I want to explain now. Say amen. 34, 34 quickly. Glory to God. 14, 34. Now, let your women keep silence. I like this English. Let a woman keep in the churches. For it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. Verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And these people get to say, Paul is, what do you call people who are not feminists? Oh God. Again, wait, now you know you don't know book. You're not, tell me. Spell it. Misogynist. Wow. Well, I don't know if it's correct. But it was Bromark and Bromona that said it. So in case you're listening to this message from anywhere and we are wrong, please note that I'm off this. But if it is correct, I support them. I don't understand. And so people read and say Paul was a misogynist. How can you say women should not talk, they should keep silent in the church? Is Paul causing all these things? You see here, it is when we've not interpreted the Bible accurately that we say all these things we say. The problem with the Bible is, or the good thing about the Bible, you see, you can use the Bible to say anything, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. All you have to do is interpret it out of context. Ignore the pretext, ignore the post-text, say anything you want to say. It will enter. But let's see. Now, the entire 1 Corinthians 14 was trying to address something. It wasn't just about women. From verse 1, it began to talk about prophecy and how they should prophesy turn by turn, how we should not have a confused church where one person is prophesying and the other is still prophesying. Do you remember? As at 28, 29, 30, 31, it's 32, so we must prophesy in tongues because God is not the author of confusion. So it was in that same light, after he said that in verse 33, that he now got to verse 34 and said women should keep silent in churches. And he now, after he got to verse 40, verse 32, 33, verse, get to verse 40, after he said God isn't the order of confusion in verse 33, verse 34, he began to talk about the women. Verse 40, he now said, let all things be done decently. And so the major purpose of this entire book was to establish order in the church. Are you following me? That there must be order in the church. Now, the word keep silent, keep silence, as the King James put it, is the word, both of them is one word, the word sigao in the Greek. S-I-G-A-O. Sigao. It doesn't mean to shut your mouth entirely. It means to hold your peace. It means to hold your peace. So he said the women should hold their peace in the church. To hold your peace. That word sigao was used in this same 1 Corinthians 14. In verse, let's see how it was used in two places. In verse 28. In verse 28. Sigao, keep silence. Hold your peace. Verse 28. It says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent. In other words, the person should hold their peace and let him speak to himself and to God. In verse 30, you see that same word, sigao. It says, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold. So he's not saying don't talk at all. He said for the meantime, just keep short. Now let's see something else. The word women in that 1 Corinthians 14:34 is the Greek word gune, G-U-N-A-N-E. It's G-U-N-E. That's the word women in 1 Corinthians 14:34. It doesn't talk about every woman. It talks about the wife. Amen? So he said, let the wives hold their peace. That is why in verse 35, he said, if they want anything, they should ask their husbands. By the time you see their husband, it tells you he's talking about a woman specifically. Are you following me? So what is the message of that verse? The message here is that women, wives must not disrupt the service. And I'll tell you why this was written. But hold their peace. To drive this home, go to verse 34. Let's read together with Message. Message captured this very beautifully. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, I need everybody's voice. Are you ready?
Yes,
let's read together. Wives must not disrupt worship, talking when they should be listening. Verse 35. Verse 35. Asking questions that could more appropriately be asked of their husbands at home. God's book of the law guides our manners and customs here. Wives have no license to use the time of worship for unwarranted speaking. See verse 36. I like the way Message puts verse 36. Do you, both men, both what? Both what? Women and men. Do you imagine that you are a sacred oracle determining what's right and wrong? Do you think everything revolves around you? So you see what was happening in church? They had a church. The Corinthian church was an interesting church, where they could be holding service, and one woman is there saying, "I have something to say. Yeah, I have something to say. Hey, no, that is not correct." You know that kind of. Paul says, "Wives, don't do that when you are in church. If you have questions, ask your husbands at home." So there is not speaking here. He's not talking about not preaching. See verse 35 again. He calls it, Message calls it unwarranted speaking. Are you still in church? So women not talking in church is first of all talking to wives who are even found opposing their husbands openly in church. Paul said no. If there is a problem, take it to home, settle it at home. It's not in church because your husband is trying to talk. You're saying, no. I don't agree with that. You don't do that. Let's read verse 35 again with Message. Wives must not disrupt worship, talking when they should be listening. Asking questions that could be more appropriately asked of their husbands at home. God's book of the law guides our manners and customs here. Wives have no license. Now, I like what Message did. Wives have no license to use the time of worship for unwarranted speaking. Verse 36, he now took it further. Do you, he now says, both women and men. So, he was addressing wives in that context because, you know, the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, was a response to reports that Paul got concerning that church. Do you remember? For instance, in chapter 5, he told them, it is reported that there is fornication among you. I heard. And so he was responding to all the issues that they brought to him. Are you getting the point? In chapter 11, he told them, concerning what you asked me, whether it is good for a man not to touch a woman, he began to talk. So these were responses. So part of the things that was happening in that church was that I was... the church. There was strife. Where women would stand and disrupt the entire service. Wives fighting their husbands, attacking their husbands in the open, even in the church. Paul said, don't do that. Is this thing very clear? So it does not in any way mean that women cannot preach or cannot do ministry. It actually emphasizes submission. It actually emphasizes that you cannot be in the public fighting your husbands. Go home and ask him quietly. You cannot be in the public attacking your husband in the church. You can't do that. You can't disrupt the service because you just want to talk. So Paul was not a misogynist. Hallelujah. Neither was Paul a feminist. Paul was Paul. What do you call people who are not misogynists and are not feminists? Huh? Okay, believers. So Paul was a believer. I think I'll go with that. So nowhere in the Bible will the Bible say, I'll explain more next week. Nowhere did the Bible say women should not preach, women should not lay hands, women should not prophesy. There is nothing like that. If you read that, you are reading your mind into the Bible. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, maybe I'll just close with that. Okay, no, I'm not closing yet. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, you will see that Paul never forbade women from prophesying. He said, but I would have you know, I'll look at this next week, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. I'll address this next week. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonored. She said a man can prophesy. In verse 5, he said, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. I will explain this further next week. But at least you see, he's saying a man can pray and prophesy. A woman can pray and prophesy. So the limitation you put on yourself as a woman and the antagonism against women is not from God, is not from scriptures. Even pastors who are preaching it are people who already have a biased mindset and are trying to make the Bible say what the Bible to say. If you are listening to me and God has told you something about yourself and you're a woman, stand up and take it up. If you are listening to me and you're a man and you know a certain woman that has the call of God, has the hand of God upon her life, stand by her and support that calling. You're doing the right thing. There is no distinction between male and female. And this is why in this church, a woman can preach. If you have this in your mind, I don't like women, you see, this is not your church. Because we have women who, when they start talking, you don't even know that they're women. Don't you know? Who carry, if you don't know, look at Pastor Amara, don't look too fast. Stop looking around for them. I'm talking about people because there is such a thing as God calling people. He doesn't check their gender. You think if God wants to use people to different capacities, he's going to check who is a man, who is a woman. Don't be serious with your life. Don't study your Bible. Don't pray. Don't grow spiritually. Just because you're a man and you have muscle. They are Jimmy. The Lord will bypass your muscle, bypass your six packs. Go to one small girl in the village. Bring her. She will raise her hand, the power of God, before. Even with your muscle, you will be on the ground. You take his muscle. I want to challenge us. God is doing something in our days. You know, I tell you guys all the time that we are in the last move of God on the earth. The Bible said the Lord gave his word. And great was the company of men that proclaimed it. Actually, in the Hebrew, how that word came is great was the company of women that proclaimed it. Yeah. It tells you that a lot of people and a lot of women are going to be involved in the ongoing move of God. I am not surprised that a lot of women are catching passion for God. I want to say this by the Spirit, that the times are changing. You see, gone are the days when all we hear about women are prostitution, slay queen, hookup. The times are changing, and those times are here now. There will be women that will born and born and born for Jesus. Women that will carry the passion, Deborah-like women, Phoebes in our midst, and God is going to raise them, and don't ever be your limitation. Don't. Joel, prophesying about the last days, in Joel 2 verse 28, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. He said, I shall pour my spirit. And what I'm talking about has happened already. He said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Before you think, because this was written to Jews, you know, if you know, when you read these scriptures, you should begin to think, you know, one of the ways to one of the things that will help you appreciate Bible study is to bring yourself into that generation and think, see how they were thinking. This is a Jewish prophet speaking to a Jewish nation who do not rate women at all. I didn't get the point. And God says, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And at the point that I announced the prophecy, these guys will shake. He said, sir, Jew, what did you say? He said, yeah, that's what I said. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Verse 29. As though he was not done. Continue. He was not done. He said, also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. He said, nobody will be left out. Men, women, servants, handmaids. Everybody is part of it. So, there is a move of God in our days. And woman, you have a part in it. I want to challenge you before I close. To reorder your priorities as a lady. There is more to you than childbearing. There is more to you than marriage. You know, the thing is, we act as though all we are preparing the woman for is for her marriage. When you get your husband's house. When you get your husband's house. When you get your husband. It's good to prepare yourself for your husband. You know me, if I come to that, it's you that will cry. But there is more than that. What of preparing the woman for her career? What of preparing the woman for ministry? What of preparing her to be missionaries, to be a missionary in cities? Who says women cannot do all of that? What of raising women like Maria Woodward Ether? Go read about her. What of raising women like Amy Semple McPherson? You see, you find people who fight women, and they are 10 First Square Gospel Church. That was found by a woman. First Square Gospel Church was founded by Amy Semple McPherson. Can I read about her? Great woman of God. She was the first I read about in history. Who will pray over an open wound? Real open wound. She will finish praying. They will clean the blood. There will be new flesh. Such a woman. Go read about her. She moved the hand of God mightily in her days. It is said that the likes of Catherine Kuhlman took after her. Because she was wearing, she would wear white too. Catherine Kuhlman had to start wearing that white too. Read about Catherine Kuhlman. I don't think there is a greater influence, a greater woman influence in our generation like Catherine Kuhlman. Go read about her. Read. Go on YouTube. Watch videos. You will see one very crusade. You will see 16 wheelchairs emptied. And miss many other miracles. And this is, people come to the meetings with doubt. Not just because they don't like God, because they don't like the woman. She even had her failings. She was even a divorcee. How many of you know this? She had her failings. She was ugly. She was, according to her, she said she was ugly. Something I said, she said she was. Yeah, she said. No, I'm serious. She said that she was ugly. She said there was nothing good about Catherine. He said, and when I saw that there was nothing good about me, I said to the Lord, if you can use nothing, use me. I didn't get the point. That was Catherine Kuhlman. And she will put up a meeting, use the largest auditorium in the city, shut the auditorium down, and yet, people that went home, that were turned back from the meeting, will be two times people that attended. I mean, if she rents a 10,000 seat auditorium, 10,000 will enter. About 5,000 will stay outside. About 30,000 will go home for not finding space where to stay. That was Catherine Kuhlman. Are you following me? There was a man called Alexander Dowie. I'm not saying this to say anything against him. Alexander Dowie was a great, was one of the greatest apostles that you can ever read about. And the Elijah that is to come. God read about it. That's what he called himself. Amen. Alexander Dowie. And he was doing mighty, mighty things. And when God was using him, God raised another woman called Maria Woodward Ether and was using her in another part of the city. So, Dowie got jealous and felt, how can God be using me? Like, because the woman was powering. So, he began to fight the woman. And I'm saying this because there is just this thing in the minds of people that want to say, ah, once it's a woman, it's not legit. Watch how. And devils will say, one yina basa agada. You know that proverb? And that is the highest form of contempt. So, Dowie began to fight. But of course, read about the man. She didn't do anything. Maria didn't do anything. Stood in her calling. I'm talking about a woman that would host a meeting, gather people, believers, unbelievers alike, minister the power of God, and everybody will be down. Not just shouting in the Holy Ghost. They will go into a trance. That's how our salvation meetings end. She prays, sends them into a trance. They will go see Jesus, see heaven, see hell, see different things, and come to the altar to receive Jesus. That was such a woman. Who is what I'm talking about? I read about her. Get God's general. Such mighty, mighty move of God. In one of those meetings, after she finished the meeting, some guys, some bad boys and girls, they were having a party. So, when it was games, games, when there is party, they do truth or dare, they play games. Part of the game, somebody suggested that they should play, is let's mimic the trance and falling under anointing that used to happen in Maria's meeting. They began to mimic it. One person will now fall and say, hey, I'm seeing vision. They were playing. And suddenly, there are moves of God, though.
There are things you don't play with. Suddenly, without any preacher, the spirit in that meeting caught up with them. Because Mara was holding a meeting somewhere at that point. As it began to happen in that meeting, in that party, these guys went, all of them went into trance and ran from that place to the program, to the ground. Such move of God. And it was a woman. And I'm trusting God that from our midst, we are going to see such women rise again. So there is more to you than all these things you are doing. That's why when I see some of you do some things, I want to be like others. I want to, and sometimes I wonder, do these people even know who they are or what God has put in my heart for them? There is more to you. Hallelujah. Some of you seated here will do mighty things. And after that, some of you will raise as children the next guys that will carry this revival to the letter. And some of you have that in your hand. That's why you cannot afford to live carelessly. You know the problem with our generation, our dress conduct later. The problem with our generation is that we live our lives as though we are going to die tomorrow. You know, I was thinking when this whole, every time something appears on the internet, maybe a girl goes naked and snaps picture on the internet, or the other girl that was doing whatever with a dog. You know, sometimes I sit back in my room and I think about 15 years later, when this girl will now be a mother. And you know, the internet never forgets. So imagine you are now a mother of a 17-year-old child and they show your child the video of where you are having sex with a dog. For how many million? Our generation will live, you must begin to live your life with tomorrow in your mind. You think you are not an accident of creation. You didn't just appear. There is more to you than wearing bonshot and walking up and down. There is ministry. God did not just create you to exist. There is more, and I wish you can begin to see yourself differently from today. Being a woman doesn't limit you in any way. The career world is already breaking that stuff. Yeah. And in the ministry, we must break it too. We are breaking it because it has never even been there. It is man that put it. God never meant it was going to be so. And in every generation, he will raise women to set an example. Read about Catherine Kuhlman. Read about Frances Hunters. Go read. Great, great, great woman of God. Met with her husband. Maybe next 2 weeks or next 3 weeks, I'm going to show you. I pray God permits me to talk about that. I've never talked about it on any stage, but I pray God allow me to talk about it. I'm going to show you different models of women in ministry, different some categories. Well, maybe if God permits, I'll talk about it. But you see this woman stand with her husband. If I know, the husband stood with her. Yeah. Because she was already doing ministry, very popular all over the place. And then, but she was already widowed. She was widowed at a young age. Instead of allowing the fact that she was a widow, bring her down, she stepped into the call of God for her life. Began to preach all over the world and began to write books. So she was invited to preach in a certain church. Right? And the husband, Charles, has been reading a lot of her books. And when the husband heard that she was coming, so he told he wasn't the husband then. Do you understand? So he told the pastor, I want to be able to drive this woman. I want to protocol her personally when she comes. Listen. So they told the woman said no. One, I'm a lady. I don't want a guy to protocol me. Okay. And secondly, why should he request particularly? So Charles insisted. And after everything, drove her throughout the meeting. And they got talking. It didn't happen in 1 month or 2 months. After like 2-3 years or so, they got married. And they did not just get married to just be two people walking up and down. They got married. Charles married into Francis' ministry. That couple is one of the biggest power couples can ever read about. You see, when it deals with twisted bones, that this leg is twisted to the back, bring the chest up as a Santas. Once they stand on the crusade podium, it will straighten out. That couple, I read about them. I didn't get the point. You read about the likes of T.L. and Daisy Osborne. T.L. married Daisy at 18. He was 18, Daisy was 17.
Tia stepped out. Don't think I'm married. Better calm down. Tia stepped out. Now look at why I mentioned the age. Tia stepped out on missions at 19. Daisy was 18. They left US and went to a certain village in India for mission. The woman went with him. You see, there are women. There are women and there are women. That's why I'm going to talk to you, my guys. Don't go and marry any Adiboroja and bring into your household. I am warning you. Not everybody can stand with you in the call of God for your life. So women are not trained for it. The only thing they know is pizza. Yeah. Not everybody. If you like, be following Nash and following. It's not everybody. And I'm saying it. It's not everybody. Imagine this. Just for this generation that TL married. He said, the Lord says, we should go to India. He said, to go and do what? He said, to go and do ministry. He said, when are we coming back? He said, I don't know. He said, when the Lord says, he said, well, the thing is that the Lord called you. He didn't call me. Are you following me? They went to India. They stayed there. They didn't have a successful mission. They stayed there for years. They were not seeing people saved. After spending years in India, they came back to the U.S. frustrated. Amen? It was in the course of that frustration that a certain man of God, William Branham, came around the town to hold a meeting. And they went to that meeting and they began to see jaw dropping. You know William Branham? William Branham was one of the major guys. At nobody, God is doing, shall I prophesy? Nobody matches William Branham when it comes to word of knowledge. Nobody. It's not can I prophesy? Do you know William Branham prophesied about this current president of the U.S.? Prophesied about the vice president of the U.S. and the clothes she will wear the day they will swear her in. Prophesied it many years ago. Now, see, when I'm talking about callings, there are moves of God. Do you understand? So they heard about William Branham. William Branham was in town doing a meeting. And then they came into the meeting and they sat. As they began to see the miracles, so he held his wife and said, this is the missing link. This is the missing link. So they went back and began to fast and began to pray. When they finished, they returned back to India. They went with nothing. They saw the dead raised. T.L. Osborne is one of the greatest. Those T.L. and Daisy Osborne. And it's not, the ministry I'm talking about is not the ministry where the man is preaching and the woman is carrying back. T.L. preached on the first day. This is on the second day. They did that kind of ministry partnership that, if you read any of their books, some chapters, you see Daisy will write. Read their books, read Healing the Sick and all that. Many ministry mothers, I'm going to teach on this somewhere in this series. Pray that God permits me to pray. Yeah, because not every ministry will be like that. Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying all this to say that there are women that God has used to model that you are not an accident of creation. Are you following me? There are women that have modeled that. And even in our generation, I believe that there's a reason why I told you guys the first person that impacted me was a woman. The person that ministered to me to pray in the Holy Ghost was a woman, another woman. Are you getting the point? And because God is raising, you see, that's why, maybe that's why in my ministry, I don't care, you are man or woman, you have the call, do it. You are diligent, you do it. Are you getting the point? We are in a business, guys. And God is in a business. Woman, I want to challenge you to live your life purposefully. There is more to this life. Brothers, too, live your life purposefully. There is more to you. So when you now think of, I want to marry as a lady, after considering, is it tall, is it dark, consider the call of God, the hand of God upon your life. Can this one manage it? They're talking about a man that killed a wife, a great woman of God and a singer and all that. Why do you think that thing happened? He couldn't stand that calling. Because that calling on that woman was going to make her very prominent and he would stay at the background. Not everybody can handle that kind of thing. Are you getting the point? Not everybody can handle it.
So before you begin to say love is pushing you, look at the hand of God upon your life. Look at the pictures God has shown you. Ask the brother, what has God shown you? Where are you going to? And brothers too, God is showing you big, big pictures about the future, big pictures about the ministry. And all you are looking for is who knows how to dress. That's all you want to see. You don't know something about knowing how to dress. You are the one to dress up your woman. And that is the truth. You don't even have to command her to dress in a certain way. Let her dress in one way and you come and say, man, you are looking so beautiful. She will dress that way again. And it goes for the... I see some lady say, sir, I like him, but hi, he doesn't have packaging. You are the packaging. Get him, package him. Don't have to command him. Just any day he dress one way, as he's moving, just be going and be snapping you. My baby boy. See my fresh man. He will dress, you see, for the next 1 year, you see that clothes. He will order more of that clothes. But then what do we see? We see women who leave the container, the real thing they should be looking for. They're looking for packaging. There is more to you than even your certificate. There is more to you than everything everybody thinks. Live a successful life. Do well in your studies. Do well in your career. Do all you want to. But there is more to you. Are you getting me? Many of you will rise to take over. We are talking about a church where you come into and you are hearing testimonies of different men, different women, shaking the walls at a different place. That when you come into it, I just sit there quietly learning God's word. You don't know those are time bombs waiting to explode. They are calm, just following you. When you see them, so that's why you must be, I did this teaching to make you begin to see yourself differently. Sister, begin to see yourself and rate yourself differently. That you are part of the move of God. That thing that they're doing in all this religion that says women cannot be this, it was never in the plan of God. From the beginning, it was not so. It was not so. Are you following me? It was not so. Many things to say, but I'll close from here. Read about women. How many of you have heard about the Salvation Army? Read about William and Catherine Booth. William Booth and Catherine Booth. Powerful couple. Hallelujah. And God keeps raising people in different models. I'll teach that more. There is a model where a woman has to join her husband and they work together. There's another model where the woman may not have to, the man might not be called into ministry, but he's doing ministry, supporting the woman. There's a model like that. You see the likes of Katukuba, you see the likes of Joyce Meyer. Are you following me? I'll say more about this as we progress. There are many models I'm going to show us. But you see, find your place in the move of God. I think I'll close with this now. Brother, find your place in the move of God. Sister, find your place. Somebody came to me and told me he wanted to date somebody. And I asked the guy, I said, where are you going to? What's your direction in life? What is your calling? What's your place in the move of God? And he wasn't so sure. I said, well, what if you start dating this sister? And in 5 years' time, you find the direction to your ministry and she doesn't fit into it. What are you going to do? Are you following me? Find your place in the move of God. Because you have a place. You have a place. And we are going to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I signed us up. That's when I was starting. I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing. This is the kind of commitment you are making as a church. This is the kind of church we want to raise. Purpose-driven women. They are good in their career. You see them in the family front. They are submissive. They raise their kids well. You see them on the ministry front. You see them. You see them when it comes to mission. They are rugged. Are you getting the point? God is raising such men. For surely, the Lord has given his word. And great will be the company of women and men that will publish it to the whole world. So I have a place in the move of God. to have a place in the move of God. May this change many of you. May it redirect many of our ladies. May it set your heart on fire. May it change your priority. May it change your focus. May it change what you live for. There is more to you. There are Deborahs that God wants to arise. There are Deborahs. There are Priscillas that God wants to arise. There are Persis. There are Phoebes that God will raise. At every time, I studied recently, some time ago, the burial of many great women and men that have lived. In every of those burials, it will never end without a prophecy about stronger men that are coming after these ones. Gachekuman burial had it, that stronger women rising. Uradata's burial had it, stronger women rising. And I tell you, you can fit into that move of God perfectly and serve the Lord Jesus. As long as I am breathing,
and always worship you.
We did it like three times and we'll stop. I will not be silent,
and I will not be silent.
As long as I'm breathing,
as long as
hey, I'm
Hey.
Lost passions are being recovered, and fresh passions are birthed. You know, I heard the Lord say to me now, He said, say to the woman, I am for you. And the visions and plans I've put in your heart, I am for you. I will stand with you, I will hold your hands, and you will do it well and do it right. And so let not your heart be troubled. As I am with the men, and I have been with women that have gone ahead of you, I am also with you to hold your hands, to support you, to lead you through, and to see that you become all that I want you to be, says the Spirit of the Lord. So my song is yes, 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 Lord. In your sufficiency,
yes, yes, Lord. If you're looking for a vessel, if you're
like two more times, I will stop.
My song is yes.
My song is yes.
Hey.
Yes, yes, Lord. In your sufficiency, yes, yes, Lord. If you're looking for a vessel, in your
my song is yes.
My song is yes. Yes, yes, yes. Ooh. In your sufficiency, yes, yes, Lord. If you're looking for a blessing, ooh. If you're looking for a man, Lord,
hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. I want you to minister a song. Amen, amen. Hearts are aligning. So you lift your hands. Let's minister because hearts are aligning. Because that's what the Lord said He's doing in our days. Hallelujah. Hearts are aligning. Dead dreams are rising. Hallelujah. How beautiful it is to see you moving. How beautiful it is to see you move. You've poured out your spirit on every heart. You've sent forth your word and it's come to pass. What our fathers and mothers could only foretaste is now in our lifetimes. The order of day. Eyes are unveiling. Hearts are aligning. Dead bones are rising. The Spirit of God is on the move. And that's where we stand today.
Oh, how beautiful it is to see you moving. Oh, how beautiful it is to see you move. You put out your spirit on every heart. You sent forth your word, yeah, and it's come to pass. What a fathers and mothers,
woo! We are in a season.
Couldn't even taste. It's now in our lifetime. The earth around it, hearts are lighted.
Amen, amen.
That voice arising.
Amen, amen.
The spirit is moving.
Amen, amen.
The spirit is moving.
Amen, amen.
That voice arising.
Amen, amen.
Hearts are. Spirit is moving.
Amen, amen.
The spirit is freedom.
Amen, amen.
You poured out your spirit on every heart. You sang what your word.
Yes, 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 yes.
And it's come to pass. What a fathers and mothers couldn't even taste, but it's now in our lifetime. The other day, hearts are lighted.
Amen.
That bones are rising.
Amen. Amen.
The spirit. Freedom,
amen, amen.
It's breaking addictions, yeah.
Amen, amen.
And breaking religion, yeah.
Amen, amen.
The spirit is freedom,
amen, amen.
The spirit is moving.
Amen, amen.
Spirit is freedom.
Amen, amen.
Spirit is moving.
Amen, amen.
I don't know if you know it, but we are in a move. We are in a season. We are in a season. See, what is cooking in this generation will need to be served. This generation will not come from it. See, we are not wasting our time coming to church every time and doing all these meetings. Something is cooking. I am telling you, very soon, Jesus will serve this generation something. Jesus will serve this generation something. Something is cooking badly. Heavily. All these meetings we keep having, we have, we come, we go. Jesus is preparing a nation. He's preparing a generation. He's preparing a certain meal. And very soon, this generation will be served. Hot. And make sure you are part of it. You are part of it. You are part of it.
What a father's and mother.
It's now in our lifetime.
Arabadoshada.
You move, oh how beautiful it is. You pour out your spirit on every heart. You sang for your word. And it comes to pass. What our fathers and mothers, they couldn't live what is now in my lifetime. The order of day. Rising,
amen, amen.
The spirit is free,
amen, amen.
The spirit is moving,
amen, amen.
It's breaking that drinks on, yes,
amen, amen.
And breaking really on, yes,
amen, amen.
The spirit is free.
restless in my heart. This world would hear that you are the only way, the truth and life. There is a sound that's coming from my depth. This world will see that only you truly satisfies. There is a fire ablaze in my heart. I know this world will know that you're the only way, the truth and the life. Ah! Woo! I say this word, they must know that only you truly satisfy. Hey! Woo! Well, I say this word would hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, we are in a season. We are in a season, and I want you to know it. I will close. But we are in a season. It looks like God is looking for the slightest of opportunities to tell us these things. But something is cooking. Don't forget it. I share this with you. A few minutes before I left my house, I had a very quick vision. But you know how visions work? The time can be short, but then what happened could be very long. So in that vision, I was sharing with a group of pastors, not our church pastors. And this is somewhat 10 years from now. And I was talking to them about when the Lord spoke to us about southeastern Nigeria and Africa as a whole. And I told them that those years we were meeting and nobody even knew that God told us these things. And we couldn't even tell anybody that God told us these things because they were never going to believe us. And I was telling them that look at 10 years after, the Lord has given us Southeast. He has given us Africa. I had a quick vision. And I remember the exact day the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, stay in the Southeast. He said, for now, stay here. I will first give you Enugu. I will give you Southeast. And then from there, Africa will be conquered. That season is very close. And we have a part of it, part in it, in this ongoing move of God. And the season has come. I've been hearing this word in my spirit to play this. This is not from God, but this is from me. The Lord said I should say to you, whatever it is God has put in your heart, I will support you. Yeah, this is God said he will, but I'm telling you now, I will support you. Don't be afraid. Are you getting me? Don't be afraid. Whatever he has put in your heart, I will support it. Once we can confirm that it is the Lord putting those things in your heart, don't be afraid. I will support it. Once God has put his... See, let me tell you. A lot will happen. Every time I come here, it dawns on me afresh. You see, in this place, platform of grace, we have what I call ministries. In a ministry. Many ministries are represented here. Amen? All of them will be that platform of grace, but there will be different expressions of this calling. When the time comes, you will see. Get yourself set. Are you getting me? I was talking with one of my people yesterday about what the Lord was talking to, telling me about the entertainment sector and how we are going to shake up that place. We are coming. Are you getting me? Mark can never forget that someday somebody is going to watch a movie acted by people here, and right in cinema halls as they are watching those movies, they'll be slumping under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Remember, wait, I'm not saying you celebrate. Remember it and never forget it. So the day it will happen, you remember that I said that one day it's going to happen. We have come. And if God has put something in your heart, write it and not forget it. Pursue it with all your life. Are you following me? Are you following me? We are here for a time and a season like this. God is in a business and we have joined the train. Amen. You know, it's not everybody coming to this church that are members of this church. We are going to have a crowd, but then there will be the members we know themselves, because we run together. Are you getting me? It will not be a ministry where the pastor is all over the world and the members are sitting in one village watching. That's not even joyful for me. I want to hear about you in Kuwait. That's the truth. I want to hear that you left Tintin to Kuwait. So we'll be absent for like 1 week from church. The Lord is leading us also, please. We want to come plant a church there, because not very soon, but when the time comes, Lord will tell us there will be a mission arm of this church that will be specifically into church planting. We want to plant a church in whatever city. We'll send you there. 2 months, a church will be standing. We'll send the pastor there. They move out to another place. They will be paid. They'll be on salary. Are you getting me? We are in a move. Hallelujah. We will blanket this earth with the gospel. Remember when I came to Enugu, I told you guys, we will suffocate this land with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If this is not what is burning in your heart, it's fine. But maybe you need to attend more meetings so that you can understand what you are saying. Are you blessed today?
Yes,
glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.